You're listening to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. If you're ready to create a holistically balanced life and business that converges creativity with mindful living, and you're not afraid of making money, working hard, and have the drive to succeed, then sign up now for my free 30-minute business coaching discovery session by going to powerpearlspodcast.com/free-strategy-session. You'll learn some basic strategies and we'll see if working together is a good fit. Let me help structure a comprehensive program to pave your creative business path. Visit powerpearlspodcast.com/free-strategy-session to sign up today. Hey, Power Pearlers, welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm Karagat Warner, and I am joined today by Abby Glassenberg, who is a sewing pattern designer. She's a craft book author, teacher, writer, and co-founder of the Craft Industry Alliance. Abby, welcome to Power Pearls Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I was just thrilled that you said yes, because I love what you're doing with the Craft Industry Alliance, because it's become a great resource for crafters, for makers, and, you know, just this busy online making world. It's just getting actually busier and noisier than ever before. And I love how you offer just practical advice. You have webinars, lots of resources. And I have to say that I absolutely love your newsletter, your weekly newsletter. It is so juicy. Like, it, you know, because we get so many newsletters and a lot of them are fluffy. I cannot wait for yours to come through, because it's just really good advice. And I just started reading. Today is the one with Patreon in it. So I can't wait to be reading about that. I just started. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait. But anyway. And then you have Coffee and Clatch. Did I say that right?
Yeah. So the Coffee Clatch. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. And I love that you've started this, because it allows makers to come together and create community, because, you know, we're working solo and it can be really hard. And I know this now that I've been solo for about 4 months. It's a lonely world. No, but I mean, it's great to have that connection. And I love that one of the last times I was on, you were just talking about, you know, it was all about community, you know, online, and the importance of offline community as well. So, you know, thanks for, you know, just starting that up. So I, you know, I'm going to just stop talking because I want you to just jump in here. So I could go on and on. So before we dig into the interview even further, could you just, you know, share a little bit more about yourself personally and how you found the world of making, and then how you turned it into a passion business?
Oh, sure. Okay. So let's see. I actually trained to be a sixth grade teacher, or a middle school teacher. That's what my formal training is in. I was a history major in college, and then I did Teach for America. So I spent 2 years living in the Mississippi Delta teaching history and French, actually. And then after that, I went to graduate school. I came up to Boston to go to graduate school and got a master's degree in education. And I worked at a nonprofit that ran education programs for children. And then I worked at a middle school. And then I got married, and we had our first child, and I knew that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so March of one of the years I was teaching, I had the baby, went on maternity leave, and I knew I wasn't going to be, you know, coming back. And so I'd always wanted to be a mom, you know, I was like super excited. And then kind of a few months into it, I was like, oh my gosh, wait, like I need to do something else. I can't just do this. And kind of had this weird identity crisis, wasn't sure what to do next. But I knew I needed something more, but I didn't want to go back to work. So that was right at the moment that I discovered blogs. I happened to read an article in the New York Times, and this was 2004, talking about blogs, like what is a blog? And it wasn't about craft blogs, but it was just sort of saying, okay, there's these journals on the internet. So I thought, I always liked crafting and making things. I've always been a person who was artistic, and I learned to sew in eighth grade and bought my own sewing machine. And, you know, I always was like a maker. I didn't really have a ton of time to focus on. And my parents were like, don't be an artist, you know, get a real education, get a real job. So that was never an option for me. But I was, you know, doing some crafting while my baby was napping and that kind of thing. And so I thought, okay, maybe there's craft blogs. So I started looking into it, found a few. And then by May of that year, so May of 2005, I thought, you know what? I think I can start one of these. Like, I like to write. I like to craft. What these folks are doing, I can do it too. I want to be part of this community and contribute. And so I was out with my husband one night on date night, and we were at Barnes & Noble. It was pouring rain. We went to the Starbucks that was attached to Barnes & Noble. And I said, I think I'm going to start a blog. It's going to be about what I'm making while our daughter Roxanne is napping, and I'll call it While She's Napping.
Oh,
and then I wrote it on a napkin, and it said, if you write While She's Napping on a napkin, it actually looks like While She's Snapping. So I was like, that's not going to work. And so I said, I'll call it While She Naps. And that was like all, you know, the thought that went into it. There was no other idea of it being a business or whatever. So I started the blog then in July of that year, Etsy launched. And so I had been making stuffed animals. That's what I really like to make. I love to think in three dimensions.
So did you make that one behind you? Of course you did.
I made all of them.
Yeah, there's those. Back there. Oh, I'm looking at just the giraffe. It's adorable.
That's Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Yes. So I started making stuffed animals like pretty much right away. And I was excited to finally be able to learn to sew properly, because my mom doesn't sew and my grandmother doesn't sew. And I didn't really have anyone to teach me. And, you know, with sewing, you get hung up on like the bobbin won't wind and then you can't keep going. And so finally I had this wonderful community, mostly of women, but all over the world, who were like, oh, I'll show you how, like, I'll, you know, here's a picture. And I was like, oh, here's the book, the best book to buy, you know? So it was great. And so I started my blog, and that kind of was the thing that led to everything else. So as time went by, I, you know, wrote free books and taught online classes and did all these different things. And the business has really evolved, but my blog, While She Naps, is still sort of at the center of all of it, and is
still
there.
It still is after all these years.
12 years, yeah.
And that's the thing. I just wanted to just kind of stop here for a sec, because you got in early. I mean, I can remember my first blog. It was horrible, like 2002. And then I was like,
that's early.
I know, because I was always interested. Like, I'm interested in new tools and new things and new technology.
Me too.
Sometimes I'm just sort of like, you know, going down the rabbit hole. You know, I'm one of those people, but getting better about that. But, you know, since you got in early and you kept that going, what was it like? I mean, the climate was so different back then. I mean, all of a sudden people are saying blogs are back, right? I mean, I guess you could say everything's cyclical, and it's like there's no real formula for it. It's more consistency. It's just kind of hitting the right, like the name of your blog. That's really cool. I mean, that's like memorable, While She Naps. I mean, I think that would make anyone, you know, be intrigued, you know, to read more. But how do you think it was different back then compared to now, if somebody were to start a craft blog?
You know, I think that people who were in it early, like me, or I'm now, it wasn't even that early, get nostalgic sometimes for those old days. And I can totally see why. First of all, the community was really small. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of benefits of being in a small, tight-knit community. Everybody would comment on everybody else's blog. So you'd get lots of, it was a really strong commenting culture, there was Google Reader. So it was a really strong reading of blogs culture, where we would intentionally sit and just read blogs. You know, it was a really nice thing to have. At the same time, it was also, well, another benefit I will say is that it was not professional. So there was no concept of making money, and it was truly done out of like the interest in sharing and getting motivated and being together and learning more, you know, so there was some really nice, true interest there that tied everybody together. That being said, it was a really small community. So, and it wasn't professional. And so now, you know, it's big business and that comes with pros and cons. I guess I'm fortunate in that I like business. And so I didn't think I would like business. Honestly, I really didn't. But as time has gone by, I realized that there is like an entrepreneurial spirit in me. And I do actually really enjoy learning about business. I even enjoy sort of like some of the accounting and analysis and all of that stuff and the data piece of it. So it's been an surprised me, but I think starting a blog today is harder in some ways because it's expected that you're going to use WordPress, and WordPress is a lot harder than TypePad, which is what I started on. That was really plug and play. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you have to have a branding package. I had no branding package. I had no logo. I chose that name for my blog, which really sounds like a mommy blog, which I'm not a mommy blog, but I can't really get away from it. So you have to have the perfect name. And I didn't even buy my URL for a year. I mean, there's a lot more you have to do, but I still think that the essence of the blog, of blogging, remains the same, which for me is just following my own curiosity. Yes. Like, this is what I'm curious about right now. This is my publishing platform and my space and my community. And I'm going to explore that here day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, all the time. And so, you know, what that curiosity has been has changed for me for sure. But essentially, the idea of the blog is still the same. And I think whatever you're curious about, you can start a blog and do well. And I also think, as you said, that blogging is back. Think about Craigslist. Like, it's super successful. Not beautiful, right? Like, bare bones, not beautiful. I don't actually think your thing has to be that beautiful. I think it can be pretty bare bones, but if it's good, like really good and really consistent, I think you can still build an audience.
That's really good advice, because it comes down to, back to that saying, content is king. I mean, but like your content, your authentic content that's coming from a deep place, people can see through that. They want to read, like, what is it? What is your, you know, what do you have to say? What is your voice? And if you get caught up in, I want to use blogging to make a living now. Everyone's doing it in the craft world. I'm going to do it. It's great. That's a great idea. But still, it comes down to like what you're saying. It's like finding your voice. It's your platform to send out your message. Because even I see designers, new designers, new makers, let's just call them makers, creators, people that are with passion, come up and with, you know, it, all of a sudden, and they have a wildly, you know, popular following because they're excited, they're authentic, they just, they're bursting with excitement, right? So,
yeah. Anyway. And I love those people who are brand new. And sort of like come out of the gate in this amazing way. Because to me, it's like proof test, like it's still possible. Like it's still possible to go from like 0 to 100 in 6 months. It is still possible.
It is. It is. So yeah. So anyone watching or listening, yes, of course it is. So, and there's no like one way to do anything. I, cause I'm a podcast junkie listener too. Like I love to listen to all kinds of business podcasts, and one will say, do it this way. And another will say, do it that way. And you know what? It just means that you can, there's no rules because it's always opposite. I mean, some certain things are, you know, best to follow certain rules. But generally speaking, it's still the Wild West in many ways, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So, okay, so let's keep going. So you were, so you created this blog, because I stopped you. We were just to talk about the blog, but kind of bringing us to today. And then, so you've authored some books. I'm guessing you've got workshops. I know you did a nanny's workshop.
Yep. But,
and others, I'm sure. And then when did Craft Industry Alliance come into the picture?
So like you, I have a podcast, and there was one guest on my podcast, Kristen Link, who runs a very popular website called So Mama So. And she actually started her site around the same time I had started mine. We'd known each other back and forth a little bit, and her site was really a really big site in the sewing world. And so I had her on the podcast, we had a great conversation, and a few months later, she emailed me right at a moment when I was thinking about something and our two ideas sort of coalesced. So my idea that I had been mulling over right at that moment was around sending an industry newsletter. I send a newsletter for my blog and it's wonderful. I love doing it. I send it every week. It's one of the best products that I create. And I do include quite a bit of industry news in that. But I thought, what if I did like a paid newsletter that was truly for the industry? So I actually was like in the midst of getting ready to contact a lawyer and like get terms of service and like really create this. And she emailed me and said, do you want to start a craft business conference with me? And I thought, So we got on the phone, we started talking together, and we kind of sort of meshed those two ideas into a third idea, which was to start a trade association for craft industry professionals. And once we started thinking it through, it just became exactly what we both wanted. And so it took us about 10 months to figure out exactly how it was going to work. So we talked to a whole lot of different people in all different sectors. So people who were members of trade associations outside of craft, people who ran trade associations outside of craft, as well as lots of crafters in different areas of craft, whether it was knitting and crochet or sewing or jewelry and all different areas, to ask them what value would you get from a trade association? What do you need? If you've joined a trade association outside of craft, why? Why did you join? Mm-hmm. What do you like most? What do you feel like you get most out of this trade association? And then we also created a business plan and we, you know, became formal business partners. And anyway, so it was a whole long process and we built a website. And then we were ready to launch. We launched in October of 2015. So it's been about 18 months or so since launch. And we have 1,200 members, which has been great. It's a membership. Yay, thank you. It's a membership-based organization, but membership's very affordable. So it's $35 for 6 months or $60 for a year-long membership, which we really wanted to keep it very affordable because we have businesses of all sizes. So we have people like myself who are a business of one working out of my house. Yeah. Maybe like you.
Yes.
And then we also have much larger corporations who, you know, like Bernina and Spoonflower and Wyndham Fabrics mm-hmm. and some of these much larger companies are also part. So it's really, and some of them bring on all of their employees or a big portion of their employees come on mm-hmm. as well as members. And so that's why we sort of worked a lot on our rates to make sure that they were something everybody could afford. And then what we offer is twice a month, you get a digital journal, which is what you were talking about earlier that came out this morning. There's an article.
It's great.
About Patreon. And they're written, the articles in it are written by professional writers that we pay. And that was a big part of this as well, as we pay everybody who works for us because we wanted to make sure we were setting a really good example in the industry of paying people in actual money and not just for exposure. And then we include three articles plus a resource, which is something you can download and use right away, whether it's an editable spreadsheet or chart or something like that, that you can use immediately. And that comes out twice a month. And then we also have forums where people can get information and seek community and talk online together that are all behind the paywall. And we have webinars once a month. Although some months we actually also have a second one, which is like a Q&A with a lawyer. That one was really exciting about like ask a lawyer. And then we have this coffee clutch, which is it's like a virtual meeting. So everybody can come and who's a member and you can see everybody and everybody can hear everybody and talk together, which is like,
That's earlier. Great. Yeah. And that's what I did. I joined for the first time a couple of weeks ago and I'd like to do it again. I think it's on Wednesday, right? Because Wednesdays are a tough day for me.
Yeah. It rotates around. We get feedback from people. And so we actually have done several in the evening for people who work full time at a job or for people who are in Australia or in really different time zones. And so it does rotate day and time, the coffee clutch. Mm-hmm. And there's usually two a month. So that gives everybody a chance.
Yeah. So there really aren't many trade associations like this. I mean, I feel like you guys have really unless I'm totally ignorant to that, but I feel like, you know, what makes you guys different? Why don't you just kind of go into that? Like, how is Craft Industry Alliance different than anything else that's out there?
Well, I think, you know, there are trade shows.
Well, I mean, the trade show, but different than what, you know.
Right.
What,
and so, yeah. Right, right. So, in, you know, Quilt Market is just a trade show, and that's the fabric and quilting industry's trade show. TANNA is a trade organization, but it really seems like it mostly focuses on the TANNA shows. And then the Craft and Hobby Association, which has now been rebranded as the Association for Creative Industries, also really has, you know, Creativation, which is their trade show. That's the new name of their show. And one of the things that Kristen and I felt was needed was really year-long support and year-long community and year-long really quality information. And so that's what we are providing. So industry news, trends and analysis, solid business information, so that you can figure out how to negotiate a contract properly, you know, all of the sort of ins and outs of being able to run a business well. So, and then also company, you know, somebody to be with and to bounce ideas off of, to if you need to hire a contractor, a place where you can ask for that and find somebody and connect. We have like a classified section in the forum so people can say, I'm a graphic designer. I specialize in working with knitters. Here I am, contact me. And people have made some great connections that way. So that's kind of what we felt was missing. And that's the hole we're filling.
If you absolutely love this show and you want to help it to be sustainable for the long haul, then you can do your part and sponsor Power Pearls podcast at whatever level feels comfortable to you. And I promise you, I have some juicy rewards in store. So let me share a little bit about those. You get ongoing monthly challenges and knit-alongs, patron-only mini-sodes, and a private Facebook group. So if you join me now, you'll get in on the ground floor and you can help me shape the future of Power Pearls. With your influence and valuable input, we can take this exciting ride together. So to learn more about how to support the show, go to patreon.com/Power Pearls Podcast. And that's what I like about it. I feel like, you know, I can go there. It feels like a protected community. Like I feel safe there because it's different than when you go to Ravelry or Facebook because anybody can jump in and say things. And I'm not saying that people are all nasty, but sometimes you get the feedback that you don't want. Well, people that I think that when you're in a community like Craft Industry Alliance, you're paying for the experience. You're serious. You're serious about your craft, even if you're just starting out, you know, but you're serious and you really want to make something of it. And you really want to show that, you know, respect to other people that have questions that, you know, might seem silly to you, but to them, they're really important questions and they need help to move their business forward. So that's what I really like about what you're doing there. And I tell you, the webinars, they're so inspiring. I will just pick up my knitting and I'll just watch a replay or I'll try to, you know, hop on live. But I like the one with the newsletter, the one about newsletter writing.
Yes, with Megan.
Megan, she was great. And, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm always a student of the world. You know, you can learn more. You might think you know enough, you know everything about something or you don't know everything. But just saying, hey, I'm going to listen with an open mind because I might garner something new. But not only that, it was like a refresh for me. It was like, you know, it just inspired me to hear her advice on different ways of looking at things. And I think after that webinar, I really just got in deep to like some topics that really hit my heart. You know what I mean? And they really helped, you know, my audience loved them. So I think, you know, just being able to have those kind of resources is great. So,
yeah.
And I wanted to say, speaking of shows, so do you think you'll merge into that at some point? Is that sort of like phase one, two, three, something? Like, will you ever do a live show?
Great question. So, you know, it's been part of our plan from the start to be able to do in-person events of some kind. I don't foresee it this time. Who knows what the future holds? Us ever doing a trade show? That's not in the cards, I don't think. As far as doing a craft business conference, I think that one of the ways that we've thought about it is doing a track of classes that we can bring to existing conferences that are there that are taught by people who are actually members of Craft Industry Alliance. So one of the things that we would love to do is to bring more teaching opportunities to our members so that they have a chance to either speak on a panel or teach at some of the conferences that they may not think that maybe they are qualified yet to teach at or would stretch to do. But through this connection, being a member of our organization, we can help them to facilitate that. And the other thing that we are working on is a networking event that we can bring to the trade association, the trade shows that are already in existence. So Quilt Market, TNNA, and Creativation, which is almost like a speed dating event where you have the companies on one side of the table and you have content creators on the other side. And it gives people a chance, especially, you know, our members a chance to make connections and in a formal way, because, you know, sometimes you come into like a networking dinner or networking, you know, event and everybody's standing around and maybe they have name tags or whatever, but it's hard to meet new people. You sort of end up talking to a few people you already know and maybe you meet a few people, but it's hard.
It's hard.
And this would be something that would take place prior to the opening of the show floor, sort of like the night before, that sort of thing. And you would really have that structured time to give your little spiel and say what you're about and hear from the brand and sort of see if there's a way to connect, exchange business cards, maybe write down a few notes, and then follow up as the show progresses so that the next day or the day after you can go by their booth or find a time to meet and continue the conversation in a more formal. So that's an event we're working on that we can bring to existing conferences. And so instead of doing it all ourselves and having to get into event planning, we can sort of bring things there.
I love that idea. I will say, not to get into politics, but you know, like when you go to a TNNA or CHA, I don't know much about CHA, but TNNA, you know, you got to, where can I fit in this event and where can I do that? Because there's so many different things going on and you have to get permission. But I really think that most of the excitement goes on before the show and after the show, like, because especially from the designer perspective, because you're able to network and meet with people in a different way than, you know, when you're on the show floor. Although, believe me, being on the show floor is amazing. Like, I'm going to TNNA this weekend. I don't know. By the time this airs, I don't know what, but are you going?
My co-founder, Kristen, will be there. So I hope you guys can connect.
Oh, okay. So I'll have to, maybe, should I?
I'll tell her. Yes.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. And I'm actually looking to do some on location interviews. So
yeah, she would love it. Yeah, yeah. Totally. This is her first time going to TNNA. So
maybe I could get her. Yeah. Because I'm like the TNA cheerleader. Actually, one year TNNA interviewed me to be like in this group of people talking about how it built their career, really, because that's what it definitely helped.
That's fantastic. Sure. And I think those in-person events are so invaluable for that. And I know they're never going to go away, no matter how connected we are online. Being there in person, face-to-face, it's just, there's something about it that is absolutely, you know, vital and fantastic.
And let me ask you though, how do you feel CHA versus TNNA? Like, I've never been, and I was thinking of going to CHA, like in January's, and then, you know, Columbus now, you know, in June, because this is like the big show, right, for TNNA.
Right.
And I've always envisioned or thought that CHA is more about more networky, more bloggers, more light bulb moments just for making in general, which is why I thought, yeah, I should go there. Whereas, you know, people have said there's really not that many yarn people there. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know if that really necessarily matters to me. you know, but from the more of the networking idea standpoint, like, do you think that CHA is worthwhile to check out for?
I definitely think it is. Like I said, I think, you know, all of these in-person events are fantastic. And I haven't been to Creative Asian, although Kristen gets to travel more than me just because of our family circumstances. Yeah. She actually was there as well this January and she had a really nice time. And but we did both go to SoPro, which was a sewing related business conference. And we went to that together. And I've been to Quilt Market. Mm-hmm. I've been to QuiltCon. I've been to some of these different events. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just think, at every one of them, I've learned a ton and made lasting connections. I will say, I think that it's important to follow up. Mm-hmm. I am always sort of surprised. Sometimes I'll go to an event and I'll meet people and talk to them and, you know, hand out business cards, have a kind of a meaningful conversation, and people don't follow up. I always follow up. And so I come home with a stack of cards and I literally sit there, you know, give people a couple of days to kind of recover.
Yes, you
but
have
then
to.
I will go through the emails and I'll be like, I'll remind them of what we talked about. If there was something, a resource or something like that I know that they would like, a podcast or a blog mm-hmm. post or whatever, I'll link, give them the link and just, you know, sort of get them. Then my email address is in their address book and, you know, we've kind of got an exchange going. And I just think following up is really important. So if you do go to a show, don't forget that stuff.
Oh my gosh. I feel like this is another podcast episode because I'm really bad about that over the years. I mean, I guess like this is my first TNNA as a new, like in my new life. So I'm going to be like a baby all over again.
Yay.
But I mean, I've been going to TNNA since, I don't know, 2004. And, you know, and it's like, it was used to be really good at the follow-up. And then it's a chore. I'm just saying, I'm just being honest that I'm,
I've been bad about it.
Mm-hmm. But it's so important. You know, there's all these juicy jewels and nuggets that I get out of every show. And, you know, if you take good notes, which I'm sure you do, Abby, you know, and then you come home and it could take you like a day just to follow up with everyone, but it's so worth it for forming those alliances for sure. So you're inspiring me. I'm going to make sure I follow up.
Especially now that you're a solo entrepreneur.
I know.
I mean, I think it's different and I don't know for sure because I've actually never worked for a company in the craft industry besides my own companies, but I think it must be different in that role. But in the role of just sort of being out there on your own, looking for freelance work or trying to collaborate or get your next gig. Like, I just think, you know, being sure to, first of all, going and then being sure to follow up. And when you're there, being positive, upbeat, open-minded, like all of that stuff's really important. There's always like these sort of negative Nellies who are like really upset about the show and upset about the attendance and blah, blah. Just sort of taking it in and what you can get from it. I think it's really important.
That's great advice. Yeah, I remember when I first started going, I was still a designer. I wasn't yet working as editor. And so, yeah, it was like from the time I stepped on the show floor till the time that my head hit the pillow at night, you know, it was just really taking advantage of everything that's happening. So, yeah, good advice. Good. So I wanted to ask you, you sent me a quote and I'd like to add a quotes for the guests it goes on to the show notes page, but I've been asking lately, guests to elaborate. So hopefully I don't put you on the spot, but I want to read your quote. Okay. And then I want to ask you, how you personally put this into action. Okay. Can you do that? Is that
sure?
Cool?
I'll give it a try.
Okay. Here it is. Pursue your interests as though it was your job every day on a regular schedule, thoroughly and professionally. That's how you build a job doing what you love. So how do you put that into action every day?
I think that's the key. And how do you put it into action every day? Well, first, it helps a lot if you actually really like what you're doing. So I do think you need to do kind of a gut check, like, you know, is this really what I want to be doing? When you realize what it really needs to look like day in, day out. Because sometimes the exterior package seems very shiny. And then once you get inside, you're like, oh, wait, I don't actually like doing this. Mm-hmm. So as long as you enjoy, really actually like all of the guts of what's going to be involved, then I think that, you know, you really need to treat it like a job. So, you know, that means it's okay to take a day off or an afternoon off if you need to. But it also means that you have to show up every single day to your job, and you need to do your job during that time that you have set aside for it. And sometimes, you know, when I had younger children, my children are now a little bit older, like the youngest one's in kindergarten. So, you know, they're like school age. But when they were much younger, you know, sometimes that meant I had 2 hours in a day, and that those 2 hours were from 8 to 10 at night. So, you know, it may not be during work hours or whatever, but the hours or the time that you do have, that during that time you really do treat it seriously and you do it every day or whatever days you have allotted. And you do it professionally, you know, and you really treat it as though it's your job, because what happens is people will see what you're doing and they'll assume that it's your job. And then they'll start hiring you to do it for them and paying you for it. And then all of a sudden, it is your job. And that's sort of how one thing leads to another. It's like, you need to just sort of do it and not wait for permission. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes by, people are going to be like, oh, wait, well, she does that.
Yeah.
So she'll do it for us. Let's call her. And then boom, you've got a job. So, I mean, that's how it works. So you just have to jump in and do it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I was kind of being selfish and asking for myself, like, how do you do it?
I think you're doing it. I think you are.
I think I'm just really super hard on myself. That's what, yeah. So
I am too. And we need to be forgiving as well. I'm very hard on myself too. And that can be difficult. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
We have high standards, which is good and bad.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess this leads me into one of my final questions is, you know, what is your like one overarching habit that you feel is like it attributes to your overall success, like a daily habit? What does that look like?
I think I would have to say it's inbox zero, and people are going to kill me for saying that. Ugh. But
I know, I'm like, oh,
it's okay to be annoyed. That's I get it. But really, like, I respond to every email, and I know that sounds super crazy, but, you know, I send I send a newsletter from my blog on Wednesdays, and I have a pretty large list. I get a lot of emails back from people, and I write back to every single person. Like, it's just important to me.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. So, while sometimes it does feel like work, I do enjoy talking.
Do you like email?
No. And I do feel like it's important that every email is addressed, so that I have none in my inbox. And honestly, what happens as a result of that is that when a new offer or idea or something like that comes in, I see it right away. I respond right away. And sometimes that's what makes or breaks getting the job, is just because
you are
on top of it and are responsible. Because sometimes, I mean, who would you rather hire? The most talented artist who's sort of flaky and may not come through?
Yeah.
Or the pretty talented artist who's always going to meet your deadline, you know, above and beyond, and give you exactly what you need and be super pleasant? Like, so I may not be like the best at drawing, but I can get you what you need when you want it. And so I feel like that happens because of email and making sure you're on top of it.
I am going to do inbox zero today because of you, Abby. You have inspired me.
And you can
me.
Do a purge. If you're at like people out there, if you're at like
email
2,000
bankruptcy.
Emails.
Bankruptcy, right?
Email exactly. Bankruptcy. Declare bankruptcy, just zero it out, and now start over.
Yeah. See, sometimes you have to, yeah, and start clean.
It's okay.
That's a practical piece of awesome success advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, thanks for joining me. This is awesome, and I'm so happy that you said yes. And I know this is different for Power Pearls, but it was so worth having you on, because all of this applies, no matter what, wherever we are as a maker. We're all in this together, right?
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining me today, Abby.
You're
this
welcome.
Was great.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that about does it, you guys. Another episode in the bag, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for hanging in there with me today. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please hop on over to iTunes. I haven't mentioned this lately, but you know, it's so important. I would love it if you could leave a review and a rating for this podcast. And let me tell you why it is so important. Because it helps get the show noticed by other knitters so I can keep on podcasting, you guys. And also, we can help share the love. Your rating and review will help me to greatly impact others and get the word out to more knitters and those wanting to learn this craft that we are all so passionate about. Also, if you have a special knitting story, I would love to hear from you. And if you feel that the story will help and inspire others on their own knitting journey, then go to powerpearlspodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link and leave me a short voice recording with your story and why you think it should be featured.